Thank you once again for the privilege of being with you as we share the Word of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40, Philip the Evangelist. And you'll find this study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go through the Bible studies and sermons and click on Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40, Philip the lay evangelist. Jorge Washington Leon is one of my favorite Ecuadorian pastors. He was visiting one day, and as we talked, he began to share with me about the new work that he had started. And with excitement, he told about a new church plant in Tampala. One day, he saddled up his mule and was on his way to visit one of his mission churches at Porvenir, another city in Ecuador. And as he rode along, he came to a fork in the road, and one way went to Porvenir, and the other one to Tampala. The old stubborn mule wanted to go to Tampala, and he said he got off the mule, pulled on him, beat him, tried his best to coach the old mule to go in the direction of Porvenir. To no avail, he climbed on the mule, and they headed to Tampala. As he rode along, he prayed, "Lord, I do not know anyone in Tampala. I have no place to stay. I do not know where to begin visiting in this community. I don't have any contacts. You, Lord, you lead and bring me in contact to the people whom you have chosen. Lord, I need a place to stay this week and a place to preach. Lord, I pray that the first person I see in Tampala will be open to renting me a room and provide meals. Lord, everything is your hands. Use me for your glory." And he continued to pray as he rode along on his mule. When he arrived in Tampala, the first person he saw was a man sitting on his front porch. His name was Misael. And Jorge introduced himself. He said, "I am an evangelical pastor. I came to visit your town. I need a place to stay this week and a place to hold evangelistic services." Misael jumped to his feet and said, "I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I listened to HCJB, the Voice of the Andes, and one day I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Come, you are welcome to stay here in my home and to hold evangelistic services. I have been praying for years that God would send someone to come to our town to share the good news of Jesus Christ." Jorge and Misael went visiting Misael's friends and neighbors. The first night in his home was full, and 12 people made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Each night, individuals placed their trust in Christ as the only means of salvation. And by the end of the week, 30 people had made decisions for Christ, and a new preaching point had begun. One man and a stubborn mule were available to God to be used for His glory. You could almost say any old mule will do when he's available to the Lord God. God is looking for a man, a woman, a teen who will make themselves available to His bidding. And when God invites us to join Him, it will always cause us to stand back and say, "I saw God do it." It will be beyond us. It will be something that only God can do. We see this in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8. Stephen had just been murdered by religious leaders in Jerusalem. The rabbi Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This scattering or dispersion led to the fulfillment of the promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Persecution spread the church like wildfire. It has been suggested that there were some 25,000 Christians in Jerusalem at this time of Stephen's death. Saul was dragging off men and women and putting them in jail. He was ravaging the church. The Greek word for ravaging denotes a brutal cruelty. It's used of wild animals such as lions mangling a body. This figurative language is powerful. Saul laid waste the church like a wild animal, and he was trying his best to destroy the church. He dragged some away by force and kept on hauling them over to the prison. It was something he continued to do until God intervened and saved him. Sad to say, there are people who hate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he stands for. Philip the evangelist experienced God at work in his life. We see this in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. What was the response of the people to this persecution? Did they cower and go into hiding? Did they reject the name of Jesus? Luke the physician, an ancient historian, tells us, "And therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word." Acts chapter 8, verse 4. No, the persecution ignited an evangelistic fire. This has happened down through the history of the church. When everything is peaceful, the church becomes complacent. And when the fires of persecution sweep over a land, the church comes alive and God uses it to his glory. Those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. They became heralds announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. The word for preaching is used 5 times in this chapter in verses 4, 12, 25, 35, and 40. The word means to bring or announce good news. It's to the divine message of salvation, the messianic message of sovereign saving grace of God. They proclaimed the message of salvation with full authority and power. Persecution scattered the church like seed blowing in the wind. The word for scattered is used to disperse, through to sow in separate, to scatter seed in all the places. They were driven out of town, and everywhere they went, they proclaimed as heralds the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we in the United States need a little of this incentive in our day. God had a chosen man for a special witness. God always has his man and woman whom he has chosen to be his witness. Acts chapter 8 verse 5 tells us Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Philip was that man. He was available to God. He was one of the 7 deacons we meet in Acts chapter 6. And when a person makes himself available to God, God will take that person and fashion him and perfect him and equip that person to accomplish the task God has given him. All a person has to do is make himself available to God. He will put you right where he wants you and equip you. When God calls a person to be his witness, he will equip you and provide all that you need to accomplish that mission. When God calls, he equips and provides according to his good pleasure. Philip began proclaiming Christ to them in verse 5. He began to preach Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed of the Lord God, and kept on at it. Saul was the instrument of persecution, but Philip was the witness to the Samaritans. God has a prepared people for a prepared message. Not only has God a prepared person to do the witnessing, he also has a prepared people to respond to the message. God prepared a people to respond to Philip's message. The crowds, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing in Acts chapter 8, verse 6. Philip went about preaching, and the audience kept on listening eagerly to the things he said. Their mind was focused on it. They were spellbound by the word of God. The multitudes were listening to the message declared by Philip, and they came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. The church did not have the New Testament scriptures at this time, so the signs and mighty works were external signs confirming the message that was announced. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them and shouting with loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was much rejoicing in that city. Acts chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. The unclean spirits are the unclean, impure, vicious, evil spirits. And by the power of God, they screamed and came out. This is in contrast to Simeon, the magic man we encounter in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. The healing took place by the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. May I remind you, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Simon's understanding of the Holy Spirit is like many in our day. They think of him as a power, and they want more power as if they can get more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is God. He's a member of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's important that we clearly understand that we cannot get more of him, but that he might get more of us and use us for the Father's glory. Philip did mighty signs because the Holy Spirit was in control of his ministry. Literally, the city was graced because of the preaching of the gospel. You want to clean up a city? This is the way to do it. I've watched for 50 years what happens when people hear the gospel and respond to its message. Lives get cleaned up as a result of people putting a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Quechuas in Ecuador would drink up every dime they made during the week and just be a drunken bunch of Indians in a rage on Saturday, unfit to work when Monday came. In their drunkenness, they would beat their wives and children. I've seen on many occasions women walking along a highway almost dragging their drunken husbands home. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ came and lives were changed. Instead of drinking, they built homes, purchased lands, educated their children. The love of God made a difference in their lives, and they were healed. When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It's interesting that Philip is the only person in the New Testament who is called an evangelist. Acts chapter 21, verse 8. The evangelist is one who brings good news. He's a herald of salvation, the bearer of good news. He was a layman and a deacon, according to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. He was a layman and deacon in the Jerusalem church. And some of the most winsome and effective evangelists that I have ever met are laymen. They just make themselves available to the Lord and share his sovereign grace. God chooses and brings together men who love Christ for our evangelism teams. And we go door to door sharing Jesus Christ. The apostle Peter and John went down to Samaria to investigate what was happening when they heard the Samaritans were coming to Jesus. They left for Jerusalem with joy in their hearts. Acts chapter 8 verse 25 tells us, "And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." God had a prepared people to hear the prepared preachers. God has a prepared people to respond to his witness. God puts us in the right place at the right time. God led me to a rural town of Zapotillo, Honduras. I went searching for a place to take a medical dental team in 2003. And after traveling all day, I saw a sign along a winding dirt road that pointed to a school. And when I got to the school, it was just a two-room school with two teachers. I greeted the teachers. They were vivacious, talkative teachers who became animated when they inquired why this gringo was coming to their school. I was looking for a school that had 10 to 12 classrooms to use for a medical dental team. And the teacher got excited, even more excited, as I told her about my purpose of being there. You have to come to our school. We have great needs in our community. I calmly told her that no, her school was too small. And then she said, well, you have to go to Zapotillo and talk to my mother, who is director of the elementary school there, and she'll work with you. Well, I did. And when I left Zapotillo that afternoon, I had that sense that this is where God is at work. I took a medical dental evangelism team later that year to Zapotillo. The next year, I began teaching seminary extension courses in Don Lee, Honduras, and made the trip one afternoon out to Zapotillo to visit this mother and daughter who had made decisions for Christ in the medical dental team. And sitting on the front porch, they told me, see that piece of land across the street? We want a Baptist church here in Zapotillo preaching the same message you preached when the medical dental team was here. I saw God do it. I challenged my students in my seminary extension classes to visit Zapotillo and began a preaching point there. Later, I took two more medical dental teams to follow up on our witness in Zapotillo. And then the Lord provided funds for a building, a parsonage, and the work continues to this day with a strong church witnessing to the community. I can stand back and say, I saw God do it. He opened the door for a witness to the people whom he had prepared to receive the message. God prepares his people for a prepared people who will respond to the gospel. Are you that person? Philip the Evangelist shared the gospel with an Ethiopian man. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29 tells the story. God prepared the lay evangelist Philip to share the gospel with a foreign dignitary who was visiting Jerusalem. And this gets exciting because this is the way God does things. This is the normal Christian life. Observe the strong emphasis on the leading of the Holy Spirit in this passage. Philip heard God speaking. He sensed the leading of the Holy Spirit and he yielded his inner witness. He simply made himself available to the Lord God and obeyed. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up, go south to the road that descends to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And so he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official in Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. This Ethiopian man was an important man, a treasurer of the queen. He held an important, powerful position in the government of Ethiopia. Candace is a hereditary title of the Ethiopian queens, and he was in charge of her treasury. Well, the man had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was probably a God-fearer, a Gentile who worshipped Israel's God, but had not become a full converted proselyte. Every believer is being touched and protected by angels. They are all about us, ministering to us, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and chapter 13, verse 2. What is God saying to you in His Word? As the Holy Spirit illumines your mind and your heart, what is God saying? And if you have trouble hearing God speak, you're in trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience. Philip had the deep conviction that God was leading him to go to a desert road. I can hear the professionals saying, wait, 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 that's not good use of the church planner's time. That's not the way we do it. Go where the crowds are. Don't go to a desert. But that's God's way. Find out where God's at work and get into the middle of it. He is sovereign. He knows what He's doing and how He wants to do it. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him, He bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. There's something astounding about the sweet, quiet whisper of God's voice and responding in obedience to where He leads you to serve. Our responsibility is simply to make ourselves available to Him and obey. Philip sensed the presence of God, and he arose and went. The imperfect tense in the Greek stresses the importance that Philip was to get at once and keep on going. Verse 27 tells us there was prompt obedience to the command. God had a prepared man to listen to the message. He also had a prepared heart ready to listen and believe the message. The Ethiopian eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, Acts chapter 8, verse 28. God had prepared his heart for the message. He's riding along, reading out loud the scriptures. Reading in the ancient times was almost always out loud. And there's this perfect preparation and the perfect timing of the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Acts chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And Philip is sensitive to the Holy Spirit and is available. Philip was ready to witness. Look at verse 30. The adventure of the Spirit-filled life is much that is ordinary, and yet it's touched with the flame of God's presence. The Holy Spirit directed Philip to approach the man in the chariot. And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And Philip took the initiative to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You can open the conversation by simply asking, "Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know that when you die, you'd go to heaven?" And then listen carefully to the response and give the person plenty of time to respond. Most of the time, I ask the question, "What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" Depending on the response, I respond with another question. A question that old Donald Barnhouse used to ask. Let's suppose you died today and stood before the Lord God, and He should ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? How would you answer? And that's the best spiritual value clarifier that you can ask. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Upon what or upon whom are you placing your faith? Philip heard the man reading the scripture from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And he asked a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? God was preparing the man's heart by placing in his hands the very heart of the gospel of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 presents Jesus Christ as the suffering servant who came to die for our sins. And God opened the heart of the Ethiopian believer. Acts chapter 8, verses 31 to 34 tells us the beautiful story of the response. The Ethiopian dignitary was honest. He said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him in Acts chapter 8, verse 31. This is when witnessing is easy. I love it. God opens the door. God prepares the hearts. God is at work in the individual. God's word penetrates the mind and the heart. And God brings the man to a saving relationship with Himself. You can only stand back and say, "I saw God do it." You are only an instrument, a voice in the wilderness. Acts chapter 8, verses 32 to 34 tells us, and now this passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. And so He does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, Please, tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Patiently, silently, without resisting, the Lamb of God was led away to be crucified. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered, like a lamb that is dumb before the shearers, and he does not open his mouth. Justice was denied Jesus. The judgment was executed upon Jesus as our substitute. He rendered the full satisfaction and atonement for our sins. All the claims against the righteousness of God were fulfilled in the atoning sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid in full the demands of a righteous God against the sinner. If one of your friends or acquaintances ask you this week that same question, how would you reply? Let's say a friend at work or a neighbor said to you, You're always going to church. What makes it so special? Why do you go? How would you respond to that person? Or if they ask, Why, you're a religious person, Joe. I've watched you and see how you treat your family and you live. What makes you so special? What is it about you that makes you different? How would you respond? Or perhaps, you know, I was bored the other night and I flipped through the channels on the TV and saw Billy Graham preaching and listened. He talked about death and heaven. How can I know for sure that heaven is real and God can save me? What would you say? How would you answer your friend? God is at work in that person's heart, and you and I had better have the right answer. Eternity depends upon it. Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian man. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. And then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Philip clearly identified Jesus Christ as the suffering servant of Isaiah. Philip told the man about Jesus and explained to him that Isaiah was speaking of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Before the shearers were silent, he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away, for his life was removed from him. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? The prophet wrote 750 years before the coming of Christ. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ alone took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows and was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him all of our sins and he died for us. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died that death. The Bible is very, very clear. Jesus died as your substitute. He bore the penalty for your sins. He died in your place on the cross. There is salvation in no one else, no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, this very moment? Believe on Christ, and you'll have the assurance of salvation for all eternity. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.